Welcome to Security Guy Radio, sir. What's your name?
Jim Lantrip with Siemens.
And what's your title?
I am the Security Segment Head.
Okay.
We're part of the Building Technologies Group inside of Siemens, so I have two other segments that are my counterparts. Those would be Fire and Building Automation.
Now, Siemens has been around a long time. How many years?
Since the early 1800s. I don't know the exact year.
Yeah, it's a long time. All right. Yeah, that's close enough. If you said 1960, I'd say that's good. And tell me what the focus has been in recent years. What is Siemens really trying to get to? You do a lot of different things. Well, let's talk about the security piece. What is Siemens trying to really focus on?
So I'm part of the Building Technologies Group. Siemens has so many focuses. I'll stick to the Building Technologies, that I am a piece of the bigger pie there. So Building Technologies is really focused on how we bring very efficiencies to our customers and products and services that will help them run their buildings and campuses. So in a nutshell, so between automation, fire, security, energy, we want to make their campuses very energy efficient. We want to make them green. We want to help them save money, and we want to protect them, keep them safe and secure.
There's a lot of moving pieces. This is like, instead of a smart city, it's a smart building. And
right.
I always say we have to start with the building first, and then the city will be smart by itself, right?
That's right.
Siemens has been around in alarming, fire spaces, a lot of things that are facilities related, which really relate to security. Because if these things are not healthy in the building's not healthy in general,
and they're adding
the security component to it. Would it be a good way to describe you guys as an integrator?
So we are definitely an integrator. So if you look at the three segments, we're on the building automation side, they primarily use Siemens products, but they're an integrator as well. We can service other components. Fire, again, primarily Siemens products, but we can service many components. Security, we have our own line of products that the sales are growing, and they're becoming a force in the marketplace. But we're also a third-party integrator because it's such a fragmented industry. We have to find the right product and solution to fit our customers' needs.
Well, I like that approach because a lot of people want to be proprietary and say, I want you to buy my camera, and we're going to put my camera in. What if your camera's not the best solution? Then maybe this is a better solution. Then you become the smartest guy in the block because you're serving the client. It's all in the end serving the client, right?
That's correct.
Now, are you finding that when you go into a building, do you have any problems nowadays with integrating the components? Back in the day when I was at the studios, we had to write code to get things to talk to each other. It was a big deal. But nowadays, it's kind of more of a standard plug-and-play thing. Do most companies cooperate? Is Siemens going to be allowed into the ABC air conditioning system to see the, you know, where HVAC is working?
So it's an interesting question. So it really drives to many aspects of what we're looking at. The Internet of Things, for example, is driving some of that cooperation that's necessary.
Almost forces it.
It forces it completely.
Right.
It just makes it available and there for everybody.
Yeah.
So when you look at the automation side of the world, we bring our products together and the third-party products from security into a single head-end. So we have a head-end that we integrate
items
called Seego CC.
And that's your interface?
That's the Siemens interface
for
buildings and campuses, if you will, around security, fire, and automation. And mass notification.
Okay.
So single platform, they can give different people different looks at the data. So a facility guy doesn't want to see the same thing a security guy wants to see. But we can give them the benefits of using all the aspects of the other systems. Facility guy may want access to the video cameras. So
that's right.
He can see what's going on in an area without having to send people out there or look at even simple things, looking at valves or pipes and see what's going on.
Now, how easy is it to use? And let's boil this down to... Let's go back to the grandparents level, right? I happen to know how to work all this stuff, but my group mostly don't know how to work all this stuff. But our kids do, right?
Yep.
And how easy is it to use for just an average? Let's say I happen to be at the desk. I'm the guy thrown in front of this thing today, and somebody calls me and I got to do something about it. I got to get some data out of it. Is it getting to be that easy?
It is getting to be that easy. You run into different challenges when you bring the more systems you bring in, the more potential complications you have.
Right.
But our approach has been to simplify it by looking at what do we do for the facility manager. He has a different set of needs.
Right.
Make it simple for him. What do we do for the security manager? He has a different set of needs. Maybe we're dealing with the IT department. What are their needs? There might be a risk department that wants to manage the mass notification system. So we give them different looks and feels that we can bring across all of them or segment it for them.
You can kind of customize the actual look to it.
I wouldn't say customize the look so okay. much as customize the panel that they're driving to.
All right.
That's built for their type of their world.
Now, here's a question I'm asking everybody. Is the sea level getting involved now?
Sea level is absolutely getting involved.
Okay, so I hear like 50-50, and, you know, it's better, but not where it should be.
That's correct. So if you think about dealing with a building and those individual components,
right,
automation, fire, and security, probably not going to get much sea level involvement except in unique facilities. When you start bringing them together and talking about the return on investment, ways we can optimize their business, ways we can bring energy in at a lower level and manage it with them along with their security and their fire together and keep them safe with mass notification, absolutely the sea level starting to get interested on where the savings are and where the return
is. So it's going from the bottom. It's going bottom to top that way. Now, what I don't get is why isn't it going from sea level down? So why isn't sea level getting that what you just said, if I can integrate all this stuff, I got cost savings, I got bottom line, which is important to those guys, and that's good. But on the safety security component, which is never driven by money because nobody wants to spend money on security,
that's right?
At least you're driven by efficiency.
Yes.
Is it because there's a gap in understanding the technology or what? My suspicion is people with white hair my age are, you know, up in that level, and most of them, we didn't have computers back in the day. It was kind of like we missed that. There's a computer gap. We didn't get that technology. My kids got it. People older than me got it because they invented it, right? But in this middle, it's kind of like, well, 1-0s, computers, smartphone. We need to do it, but I don't really get the idea. And I wonder if that's a decision-making barrier. I don't know.
I don't think that's the decision-making barrier because they're doing that in every aspect of their business. Computers are there. I think the barrier really is giving them the right information to make an educated decision on what this can do for them. If I bring these together, does it create an efficiency for them, or does it just create a bunch of things on the same head end?
Well, that's a good way to describe it. So maybe they're looking for an explanation that's not being translated by our industry.
Correct. So it's you know, return on investment. What's the benefit to them? It's optimization. How can I help them do more with less, be more efficient, and be better at it?
Right.
And we don't always translate that from parts and pieces and solution to C-level things that they care about.
Yeah. Now, do you find in the security space, let's just talk about a corporate security department.
Okay.
Are you finding that your interface is getting used at what level? Like a guard level for access control, at a mid-manager level, at a CISO level? Who's using that interface mostly?
It depends on the type of facility. So as you know, it varies by facility type, what they have. So guards certainly use the access control and video. Video is probably the mainstay component of security. Now access control's not relegated, but it's less in your face than it used to be. Access control was the main
platform. That's right. I didn't realize that. Okay.
And video is kind of taking that over, especially when you start looking at how analytics are evolving and making video easier to use.
Right.
Which helps people deal with tons of cameras and tons of data in a very, very easy fashion, shall we say. So it's used at different levels. It's pushing up because when you get into access control, the next level up is identity management.
Right.
And identity management is certainly a much higher level who's dealing with it either in the IT department or the HR department, potentially even up to the C-level and having information about it or foray into it.
Well, they got to drive policies on privacy. They got to drive policies on access and stuff. And that comes from them, right? Yeah.
Around the privacy and the access, but also around protecting the company's brand.
Right.
Things on those lines that compliance issues and compliance reporting. You know, a lot of things go into it that are really affecting higher levels than have ever been the case.
Now, back in the day, security had security stuff. HR had HR stuff, legal stuff. And you had lunch once a month, and maybe once in a while you talked about something. You never really let anybody have access to your silo. Are you finding these silos are breaking down using an interface like Siemens makes? And are you still able to protect the silos if need be and if wanted?
Yes. So the silos are breaking down. The information exchange is real. It happens. And giving people what they need is important, not everything they want to see, but what they need.
That's a good point, yeah. Because so, otherwise you can have information overload.
Information overload or access to information that's not appropriate.
Right.
So, yes, giving them access to the information that they need that helps them with their role, helps them operate more efficiently. We can protect it. We can segment it. We can give them bits and pieces of it. We can let them drive bits and pieces of it and bring it all back together in a platform that uses it all at once.
Now, are you in the smart city space?
We are in the smart city space, yes.
And just an extension of a smart building, or is there something broader picture on that?
little bit broader picture, we have some command and control platforms and some physical security information manager platforms that play well in that space that can bring it all together at even a higher level than our DeSego CC platform that would include automation as a piece of it.
Right.
That might be managing all the other components, but it brings together everything. You know, it can bring together a computer-aided dispatching, access control, video, use of the products, mass notification, automation, energy, fire into a single head end with workflows that make it easier for an operator to deal with any type of event that may come up. Tells them step by step what to do. It records what they did, the time they did it, can associate video or access events or other events with it so that you can either provide corrective action, training, or just a debrief on what happened and what we might want to do different next time.
Now, you work in many countries.
Correct.
All around the world.
Yes.
I'm guessing almost all of them because you guys have been around for a long time. Tell me some challenges you have in coming in and trying to set up a smart building in Germany as opposed to a smart building in Mississippi. Because I know like Germany has all these rules about how long you can save data and PII information and you know, all that kind of stuff. When you're working in this area, do you have anything unique that you have to really focus on to get that next sale on that, I guess?
So it's a beautiful thing about Siemens being a large global company. I don't have to worry about Germany. We have experts there in Germany that understand the codes, regulations, and we can apply the same products to those. Just have to apply the parameters that fit
that's
country.
That's a lot better and different than a guy that does business in the United States and you know and can do business in Germany.
Right.
You guys have been there for 75 years, and that's different and I think more efficient.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we have the local experts. We have the product that's global, and we have the local experts on how to apply that product to keep us safe and take care of the cities.
And you understand the culture. The culture really is the thing to sell. I mean, you got to get people to say, when I added access control at the studios for the first time back in the 90s, people said, well, I'm not going to carry an ID. Well, you have to. Well, I don't want to. And I made the mistake of just telling them to do it instead of selling it first.
Right.
Right. I should have brought up the idea. And it took us about 6 months, and then finally now it's standard.
Right.
Back then, nobody was going to carry an ID. It just wasn't going to happen, you know.
Yep.
Tell us about your camera division, some of the things that are coming up and bubbling up and evolving and coming into the space.
So step back from that first. So we're software only in the security space now. So we don't manufacture our own cameras or access control hardware. We're software only. We do video management systems.
The VMS system. I got to make sense. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
A lot of interviews, folks. Sorry.
No worries. Okay. So we have primary platforms for us. We have a command and control platform, which is called CValence Vantage. We have a access control platform, which is called CPAS. We have a video management platform that's called CValence VMS, Video Management System. And we have analytics, SiteIQ Analytics. Then we have a new product coming in the PSIM space called CValence Viewpoint. So from a video management perspective, we're about how do you take the video management capabilities we have today and bring analytics to bear to make the system more useful to our end users.
Yeah, video is just a bunch of raw data.
Yes.
It's a bunch of pictures, and you can't really, like, put a file name on it and explain what it is. It's too big. And VMS is important. Now, do you guys have real-time video management? In other words, can I track somebody going through a building, or is it more like it happened, now I'm saving it, and I'm going back and analyzing it?
So both.
Okay.
So if you can do real time, you can typically do what's the word I'm looking for? Where you're going back and looking at it.
An archive.
Well, archive, but post mortem. But there's another.
Oh,
word.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's not coming to me. Yeah. But yes, we can do both. We can follow people through the building either manually. We can do it with specific analytics. Some of it we provide. Some of it through third party integrations. And you can go back and do the same thing on recorded video.
Now tell us about your analytics involved in video. How is video analytics a little different than a database analytics? You know, if I got a bunch of people named Fred and they got a brown car and they wear Converse tennis shoes, I can pull that data out and say, there's the guy, right? But video, boy, you can't describe every single scene. And I have a hard time getting my head around video analytics.
Video analytics is certainly a mainstay in our industry and growing like crazy because you got all this data. Is how do you really take that data and put it into something that's useful, that
right.
could be binary? How do you describe a brown car in ones and zeros?
Exactly, right.
And how do you describe, you know, two brown cars that are slightly different? So video analytics are a tough animal. They require a lot of horsepower. And, you know, it's really growing beyond video analytics. I think you do behavioral analytics. That's the...
So the video is presenting the behavior we're analyzing instead of the video itself.
Well,
today is
translating the data, the metadata from a video itself.
Right.
It's picking out what would be considered a brown car. What's the broad spectrum of what we would call brown, or the shape that we would call car, or direction of travel, or speed, or things that are left that we don't think should be left. But it's really transitioning from there into behavioral analytics. How do I measure a scene for a month and know that, you know, 99.99% of the time, people come through here in this direction in this way, carrying these kind of items, but all of a sudden somebody goes kind of left to right instead of left to left.
Right.
What happens? How do we do with it? Do we need to alert somebody? So measuring behaviors is different. Or how do I look at a scene, a big crowd, and just say, take a quick swipe of everybody's temperature and find the one person that it changes from scene to scene.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Maybe something's going to happen. Maybe something just bad just happened to them. Maybe they're excited because something happened in the event they're at, or maybe they're a terrorist thinking about doing something wrong.
Exactly. Now, tell me how that all works, because my little reptilian brain is having a hard time with this. Are your systems and software, you know, for lack of a better term, looking at the video, you know, the computer's looking at the video, mm-hmm. and is it picking out things like colors and motions and times and saying, you know, this camera for the main parking lot, these cars look the same all the time to the computer, mm-hmm. but like you just said, now it doesn't. It's like white duck, yellow duck, right? And all
yes.
of a sudden, so the video is actually doing this. We're not having to have to put a person on the playback with it and kind of, you know, add some information to the system and stuff. There's a lot of automated processes involved in this. Is that correct?
That's correct. So more real world application today would be somebody's walking through the show and everybody's got bags in the show, right?
Right.
But maybe you want to know when somebody leaves a backpack that was a bomber, like at the Boston
right.
Marathon. So a video would track everybody's coming through, just keep an eye on everybody that's coming through and leave a red square and give you an alarm that there's a potential danger here for the operator to
wow.
look at. So notify the operator and say, hey, I don't know that this is a bomb, but here's something that's outside of the parameters that you said you want to be notified about. Now pay attention to this camera. So you don't have to have 50 guards looking at every camera to see somebody doing that. You have video looking at that to notify a couple guards to say, check this out.
Well, you know, I was in the garbage a long time, and I have to say it's probably more reliable. But the human factor is always the last kind of decision maker on these
Absolutely.
Things to figure it out, right? So how do you handle, you know, people's eyes rolling over by saying, oh, there's another red square in the video, there's another red square in the video? It almost comes back to the same thing we did before, which is there's a video again. There's people walking around. And when I put people on cameras at the studios where we had 300 cameras, you didn't sit there for more than an hour because your eyes roll up in your head. You
yes.
can't sustain that kind of – the computer can do it all day long, right?
Yes.
So are we finding any kind of a slide back on that where now people think, you know, there's another square, there's another warning. It's a false alarm, false alarm, false alarm. You know what I'm saying? It makes
absolutely.
Yeah.
So false alarms were a real challenge in the early days of analytics, whatever kind it was, whether it was a geofence, penetration line. It was a really big problem. Analytics have grown and gotten more mature and more powerful. And as you look at them, there's less false alarms. If you're getting too many false alarms, your analytics aren't working.
Okay, that's good to know.
That defeats the purpose of having the analytic in the first
yeah.
place. So you have to have the right number, and there's a balance you have to figure out. You can typically tune each analytic in your system.
Oh, that's interesting.
And you use different types of cameras and lenses. I mean, there's so many factors that go
yeah.
into it. It's really a lot harder work than it used to be, a lot smarter work. Requires a higher level person thinking about this than used to be the case. But you tune it so that you're not getting so many false alarms.
So I'm at Disney and I have tuner cameras. Siemens, it's all yours. Go for it. Give me just a rough idea what it's going to take time-wise for you to come in here, set my cameras up, put some good analytics in it, calibrate it, test it. Give me a rough idea.
I don't know that there's an answer to that.
Okay.
Because there's so many factors that go on. What kind of analytics are you running? What's the scene? What kind of camera do you have? Do we have to replace cameras? Do we have to replace lenses? Is the pixel density right? Is it megapixel? Is it HD? Is it ultra HD? There's so many factors involved, including the kind of analytics you have and that you're running. The scene that they're in, is the light conditions changing? There's not an answer for that. And typically, you don't run analytics everywhere. Typically, you pick and choose where you're going to run analytics. That's also part of the process.
Well, that's interesting. I would think if you didn't run it everywhere and the place you didn't run it, something happened, it's almost like you're getting a liability issue.
Maybe yes, maybe no. It depends on the type of analytics you're running. So
right.
if you just want to know who's trying to break into your fence, You save money by putting video analytics on a fence line instead of putting, you know, protecting the entire fence. Then you don't have to do every camera for the analytics.
Right.
It depends on your needs. So they're very application specific. If you're wanting to do bag left behind, you know, maybe airports have a whole bunch of them in the primary, the unsecure side of the building, but they don't have them on the secure side of the building because they've already gone through security and they've been checked.
But you're basically setting stuff up to lower false alarms, and each company, like you said, is going to have a specific analytic they're looking for. Maybe nobody cares about bags because it's a backpack company. That's not my problem. My problem is lack of backpacks. Or this guy's not wearing one.
Or maybe they care about the guy walking against traffic instead of everybody walking with traffic.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, Jim, this is a fascinating conversation. I'm so happy to hear this. And all those different products you have, can all, if I was rich and a big company, I could buy them all, and then I could stick them under your command center, you know, to use them all at the same time, correct?
That's correct.
Or it's a standalone piece. I can only handle access control. It's all I need. And I can put Siemens in just for that piece of it.
Absolutely. Typically, we find access control and video are integrated.
Yeah.
Analytics, of course, have to be integrated to something, whether it's access control or video. There's access control analytics, you know, hitting the marketplace. But sometimes we find them, they're still standalone systems for the right reasons. And it's about what does the customer need to run their business and be efficient.
Yeah, so if I got my standalone system over here that I like, you're gonna integrate with me on that and work with me on that. And work with the consumer. I think that's the best thing. I remember the days when things were proprietary. It sounded like a good idea, but I think we're not as safe if we don't do that. Yeah.
Yes.
Jim, thanks for coming on the show. It's been fascinating.
Thank you very
you
much
want to
for
come
having
and do
me.
A 60-minute one day. You had to Skype in Hollywood or come on and visit me and show us some stuff. Or we could go to one of your sites and take a look at some of this stuff. That'd be kind of cool.
I'd love to do that.
Yeah, I'd love to see this stuff in action. Very glad to have you on the show. Very proud.
Thank you
Siemens
very much.
On Security Guy Radio. Thanks. All right, beautiful.